Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Okay, good morning. This is retired Chester County Supervisor Trish Clark. I'm filling in this morning for Carl and Linda. They'll be back tomorrow with an open line Friday, I'm sure. And I also have with me again this morning as my guest host, Bob Meyer.
I'm not allowed to talk. Somebody called and said that I dominated the whole show, and so I'm just going to sit over there. I'm not going to do anything or say anything. No. Hi, Trish.
Hi, Bob.
You're just retired. I, according to the Fire Redhead, am a washed-up has-been who lives in the past. So that's my take on today.
Well, that's kind of what they say. You know, when you retire, Bob, then all of a sudden, you know, it's Trish who? I mean, they don't remember anything you've done or anything
you've been. You've done actual stuff and been elected into office. That's why she's the only one who can be on the show with me, right? Because I can't dominate her.
Well, I'm pretty tough to dominate.
That's what I'm saying, you know. Yeah, and I've known you since you were a little councilwoman down in Anderson.
That's very true.
Followed your whole career. And, hey, just go down to Anderson, folks. I said yesterday, go down there and look. And if you've been here for 20 years, think about it, you know.
So. You know, before we go into it too many things this morning, I want to straighten out a couple of things about the discussion we started, and I'm hoping we'll talk more about it today, and that's that the state courthouse, Shasta County Courthouse, is going to be built in Shasta County, and just lay a little groundwork for that. A lot of people think there's still a decision to be made, and they really, the only decision to be made is where it's going to be built. This has been a 10 to 12 years discussion about the need for courthouses in the state of California, where they're going to be, how they're going to be paid for, and the determination has been made that there will be a courthouse built in Shasta County, and the state is going to build it. Now they just need to determine where. The other thing I want to correct is, I don't know what I was thinking, that they could build anything for $11 million in this day and age, but the guy that threw out the $200 million figure was closer to the mark. It's 211 or 210 or something in that that's been set aside for the Shasta County Courthouse. So I did want to correct.
That's ridiculous.
I know it is. It has more to do with, yeah, but you know, think about it. We've totally lost, and money doesn't mean anything. I mean, we're talking trillions and billions on a daily basis, and we're getting all irate because somebody, you know, spent $1 million here and $1 million there, and there isn't that much money in the whole world. So I think it's kind of all irrelevant anyway. But
in 30 seconds,
at any rate, it's $200 million plus for the.
You know how much that is? If they just opened an office and said, "Come and apply for money if you're thinking about being a criminal or being involved in it, and we'll give you some money," right? I mean, how many criminals could I avoid? Here's $50,000. Don't come back, right? You know, we wouldn't even need to build the thing. You know, that's how much money that is.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff circulating around on the internet right now about how to solve this whole crisis and the economic crisis and everything. And a lot of it has to do with, I mean, if you stop and think about the stimulus bill and the whole idea of that is to create jobs, and then you think of the amount of money that they're spending, and then how many jobs they're supposed to create. And you look at that and wow, you could just like give people $1 million, buy them a car, and everybody in the United States for less money than they're spending on the stimulus bill.
Well, you ever see the incarceration figures, you know, it costs, you know, $110,000 or whatever for a prisoner every year. You know, if that guy was given that money and given an opportunity in a job, something the nonviolent types, right, uh-huh. You know, they wouldn't be in jail.
You
know, most of that's property crimes and poverty, and that's how they wind up in there.
Okay, know? So we've managed to just kind of kibitz our way through that first little section, and we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back to the phone. Okay, we're back. This is Trish Clark, and I'm here with Bob Meyer. And Bob, so...
Yeah, I'm just going to spend a few minutes here. Trish is all prepared and organized, and I don't have anything in front of me because, you know, I don't have to. I'm way too talented for that. You know, they say, well, how can you don't do a talk show somewhere down in San Francisco or whatever? Because I just don't want to. You know, I don't want to talk to people. I don't care what they say. People are minions, a minion caller. My opinion is what counts. And you'd have to be a pretty important caller for me to even accept you on a program like this. You know, for instance, go to the phones. I'll show you a point here. Some underling minion type caller out there. Hi, who is this?
This is Wally Herger.
Oh, Congressman Wally Herger.
Bob, well, you are hurt.
Okay.
You are hurt, Bob.
You can go ahead and talk.
God bless you. It's good to hear you on the phone, on the radio again. We've all missed you.
Wally, we were elected in 86, inaugurated in early 87. Is that how they do it in Congress?
That's correct.
So I moved here about 2 months after you had been inaugurated and have known you for that long.
I don't think they call us being inaugurated. Well, I think we were sworn in. That's what they do to the president.
But just like Trish, I've been there the whole time, followed your entire career. And I just wanted to say hi to you because I get to be on the radio after 11 years, and I thought I'd show everybody just how important I am.
I can have a congressman call me.
Sure,
I have to tell you, every one of my constituents is important, but you're really important.
Wally, you've been doing a heck of a job. You've been back there. You were conservative, as Barbara Mandrell says, when conservative wasn't cool, like me, a lonely 13-year-old boy passing out AUH2O bumper stickers that nobody wanted for Barry Goldwater. You talk about being in the minority. Nobody even knew who he was. Everybody had sympathy for the Kennedy vote, and Goldwater was some crazo out of Arizona. And there I was, a little 13-year-old boy for Barry Goldwater. So that's how conservative I am. Well, I got to ask you one question, and then I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of business to go on. It's pretty complicated. Wally, what the hell's going on back there? I look up, $480 billion, trillion, quadrillion dollars, our economy, a meltdown. We've had some troubles before, but this is pretty major. And quickly in a nutshell, what are you going to do about it?
Bob, you're really pretty well summing it up. We know that there's a lot of reasons why we got here. This housing bubble that we were in, many who were chairman, some of our Democrat friends who were chairman at the time, forced through legislation that basically basically forced banks to loan money to people who couldn't afford to pay the loans back on house loans. And of course, one thing boiled into another. But today, with this new president, Obama, and this administration, their idea is somehow we can spend and borrow our way to prosperity. That has never worked in the history of the world. I mean, just ask some regular, it doesn't matter who it is, any person on the street, can you get out of debt? Can you help yourself economically if you spend more and borrow more and do it where it won't even be paid back until your grandchildren's, but that's somehow going to help you? I mean, I don't know of anyone that would answer yes to that, but yet that's what we see this administration and our Democrat Congress in the process of attempting to do.
Wally, let me ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Wally, this is Trish. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. It's nice to speak with you.
Likewise.
What can we do? What can the people of the United States, besides send the president a tea bag and all of those things, what can we do? Because we got to do something to turn this around.
Well, I think doing what you just said is important. These things are big. We need to make an impression with our two U.S. senators. Now, I'm going to be voting against this, but we need to be letting everyone know through our organizations. You know, many people are members of different trade organizations, and that they can help influence on a state and national basis to talk to their legislators. Writing letters, sending emails again to the president to, making ourselves heard. We have got to do that. And then we also want to make sure we're looking forward. We just had an election in November, but we're going to have another election in less than 2 years where the House and the Senate will be up for grabs again. And that's where we need to be making the changes.
Well, because we really need to make grounds in both the Senate and in the Congress to have any hope of stopping this wild machine that's been set loose back there.
that is absolutely correct. And it all begins right here at home. I mean, there's registration going on. And, you know, the other side, quite frankly, just really out-campaigned us in the last election. Even in our own area, which is considered a fairly conservative Republican district, well, the good news is just on our side, we registered 4,000 new Republicans, if you will. Now, you know, I'm representing everyone, obviously, but the other side registered 12,000 new Democrats, and this is pretty much the story all around the country. So we, if we don't like what's going on, collectively, we have got to make sure that we ensure that those, if we do have someone we like in office, that they stay there, and that we work to turn this House and Senate around. And you know, Trish and Bob, this happened back in 1994.
That's right, with Newt Gingrich
you know,
in the group.
Bill Clinton came in 1992, won with only 43% of the vote, by the way, because of three parties. Ross Perot divided the electorate then, but he went so far to the left in his first 2 years that both the House, the first time in 50 years, the House became changed parties, and the Senate changed parties. Well, so that can happen. Now, that's not to say it will happen. It only happen if we roll up our sleeves and work at it, but the potential is definitely there to turn this around.
Well, Wally, and if I can say one thing that you could do to make us feel better out here, if you would talk to your people back there that are your co-Republicans and tell them to stop making nice and get out there and say it like it is. We want to hear them criticize what's happening. We're not criticizing the president. We're criticizing his policies. And tell him to have some guts and do it.
And there's got
to
be some moderate Democrats. I know there are some. I've become more moderate. The reason I was so far to the right for a while there, Wally, is because the left forced me. I look back at it now, 10 years later. They went so far to the left that a lot of us went too far to the right, maybe, but we were. It was an overreaction to try to pull, you know, pull from the other side. You know, I think if the Democrats were a little more moderate, so would the Republicans may come back a little bit to the moderate side.
Well, I think that's human nature. When the pendulum swings way to one side, you tend to have to at least come out overcorrecting it to get it somewhere in the center where it really needs to be.
We're going to take a break. Can you hang on for 1 second, Wally? And then...
Well, I will tell you, we are in the middle of vote, so I will be having a vote I'm going to have to run to here in a little bit.
Well, why don't you go ahead and do that?
I can hang on for a while, yes.
Okay, and we'll come right back after this break. Okay, we're back. This is Trish Clark and Bob Meyer, and we've got Wally Herger, Congressman Wally Herger from Washington, D.C., on the line. And any final words for us, Wally?
You know, I just ran out and voted while we had this. So start over again. I just grabbed the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just saying
we just came
back from our break.
Oh, very
and,
good. Worked out just right.
Yeah, okay. So great. So we've got some time. We actually got a guy on the line that's got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you want to take that?
Yeah. I'm getting my breath a little bit here. I ran out, but yeah, let's go.
Okay. Bill, you're on the line with Congressman Wally Herger.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Wally Herger.
Good morning.
Pleasure talking to you.
Hey, talking to you.
Yeah, I'll try to be real quick with this. I remember back like 3 years ago in, I believe it was Texas, they was having a restructuring vote, and the Democrats, they needed a forum to vote, and the Democrats were in the minority, and they took off and fled the state and hid in motel rooms.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah, denying the vote. Why can't the Republicans, both in California and Washington, state and Senate, when these things come out to vote, boycott it, not show up, deny them a forum, and then ride that publicity to make their case of what's going on?
Well, the problem is, it was a little bit different situation in Texas in that they, the ones voting were the ones that had the majority of the votes, so therefore if they weren't there, there wouldn't be a quorum. But with us, we're a minority. So if all of us didn't show up, they would still have a quorum because they have all you need is a majority there to have a quorum. So it wouldn't quite work with us.
It's a good idea,
but
though.
Anyway, good idea. But,
yeah, just a thought. Maybe in the Senate in Washington they could pull it off.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Wally.
Thank Thank you very much. That's thinking out of the box. Thank you.
Wally, we're going to let you go. We know I have to work, because when we do get you, you're going to be back in town. You're going to sit down here with me, and we'll devote some time.
Bob, I'd love that. Be just like the old days.
It sure will, except I'm a little more moderate now.
Oh, you are.
You know why?
Okay.
You know why? Because I've decided, as far as capital punishment goes, I guess lethal injection's okay. But I'm, you know, I mean, anyway. Wally, it's good to hear from you, and you stay back there and hold on, baby, because things can change awful quick.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen it happen before. And, Bob, it's good to have you back, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
One last question before you leave. Do we have enough gold in Fort Knox to cover $10 trillion?
We do not, and even the Chinese are running out of money to be able to loan us, and to the point where we're not going to loan us. So, I mean, things could get bad very, very. We think things are bad now, you know, at the rate this is going. We have got to get common sense to those who are in the majority here in Washington.
We're off the gold standard. You know, our economy runs on confidence, and we don't have that right now.
And you can't have it when you have crazy policies.
Well, and let me reiterate, Wally, that we out here who are holding the faith are looking for you people to speak loud and carry a big stick and really object to what's happening.
You know, Chris, you would have been very happy last night. I was on the House floor we were debating the budget last night. And I think we went to about 11 o'clock last night, and you would have, it's too bad I don't know if you people have a chance to watch C-SPAN, but I'll tell you, we're speaking out very, very strongly. The problem is our media, I mean, we do there on your station, but the national media doesn't like to cover us that much. But anyway.
Wally, we gotta go. We got a hard break for the news. So, talk to you soon. Okay, we're back, and Congressman Herger's gone back to work back in Washington, D.C., and so we'd invite anyone to call 221-1402. Yesterday we were talking a little bit about water. Anybody who'd like to throw in their 10 cents worth about where the new Shasta County Courthouse should be. And also want to remind you, as you know, I never miss the opportunity when I go on the air to talk about the Frontier Senior Center and remind everyone that we do have our community breakfast this Sunday from 8 to 11. And if you haven't been down and tried the breakfast fare down there, it's very good. I understand that the gravy is exceptional. And we do serve breakfast down there for $4, and it helps pay for the activities at the Frontier Senior Center. So come on down and join us. You'll see a lot of familiar people, and it's a good time.
That's Trish's pet project, by the way. And since our big contracts and how much Trish and I get paid here today, right, part of our deal is, you know, we can plug anything you want. I'm going to plug the Haven Humane Society. That's always been Veterans will take too long today, but everybody knows I love the veterans. But Haven Humane, the Shasta County Animal Control Center. You want to talk about a dump, you know. We'll get around to that someday. The place where the county puts their animals, they should be arrested, right? I'm not the workers. I mean, they do what they got to do. But the county, my God.
There's certainly no
spay and neuter. Don't throw them in the woods, folks. And go down and get yourself a new kitty or a new dog. And get them out of there.
Well, and the need for an animal control center in Shasta County has been substantiated for years, and certainly it's just a matter of coming up with the money to build it. But you're absolutely right. And I can't say often enough that the key is the spay and neutering. We just have too many animals that are not being taken care of. The feral cat population in Shasta County is tremendous. And we got people, I know they're well-meaning, but they're out there feeding these cats and gosh darn it, people.
I'm not a religious wacko, but somewhere in some book, something about man having dominion over the animals, which means that they're entrusted to us. And a society is judged, I think, on how it takes care of its animals, its veterans, and its you know, old people and whatever. And we try, folks, but there'll be a reckoning someday with
Bob, speaking the guy of the veterans, we're not getting any calls about the courthouse, so let's talk about the
it's
veterans.
Because they're never going to build it in Anderson, Trish. Never say never. It might be a good idea.
I don't care one way or the other in reality. I know that they're going to build a courthouse, and as I explained before, but I will tell you that there certainly are some reasons why that's an excellent location, not the least of which is the security.
Yeah.
But
the jail's here. That's a, well,
except that they're talking about moving the jail down to Breslauer Way or out on Clear Creek Road. I'm not moving it, but building another jail. We need another jail. We're going to have to build a minimum security, and it's not going to be located downtown, probably. So if that's the case, then you're going to have the problem of transporting those prisoners regardless of where the courthouse is. There's all kinds of considerations. I think the major thing for the citizens of Shasta County to recognize is that this is a decision that's already been made by the state. It's going to be someplace in Shasta County, and we're not going to make that decision.
If people could vote on that, here's the campaign I'd run.
Oh, the people are not supposed to vote. This is a republic.
I know, but wait. Here's how you could pull that off, by telling everybody in Reading that the only people that will really be inconvenienced by this are all the lawyers. And people would rush to vote
for that to be.
No, think about it. You know,
all right,
the lawyers would be very inconvenienced, and that's a good reason to.
Move it into Glenn County.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the phone and talk to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Trish. Scott Morgan with the City of Anderson.
Oh, hi, Scott. Tell us all the wonderful reasons why that belongs to the City of Anderson, Scott.
Well, the City Council adopted a resolution on March the 17th making a site submittal proposal to compete for the location of the new Shasta County Courthouse, and we think it's just a dynamite site.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm very impressed with the proposal you submitted. I hear rumors that the City of Reading and their people representing them are less than impressed.
Well, you know,
in fact, they're really kind of upset about the whole thing.
There's some quiet stuff behind the scenes. Remember I think it was the Walmart distribution center. I think it wound up in Red Bluff, right? That got blown out of Reading. The Walmart Superstore, you know, somebody's not too happy about that somewhere in Reading about people going down there to that store. But Scott, over the last 20 years, Anderson has, for a small town, has pulled it together, put in the factory outlets. I got the queen of the world here with me today who helped do that and turn Anderson from, when I lived there, kind of a little small hick town in the middle of nowhere with nothing, to a really beautiful little city. And I'm really impressed. You guys had your budget, you came out with some extra money. You had a little surplus down there?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate since Supervisor Clark was on the City Council as Council Member Clark. A whole series of great elected officials and with
Mayor
vision and leadership, and it's paying off dividends today.
Well, it is, and I will tell you, having done that for 20 years and been the recipient of the county and the city and, oh, yeah, Anderson, comments forever that I'm thoroughly enjoying from the sidelines this whole discussion, and just the fact that you guys kind of really caught them with their with not paying attention, and I'm appreciating that, and it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. But it is a lovely site, and in all seriousness, would make an excellent
go for
location.
It. I think you should put some pressure on them, because that's big money. There'll be a fight to the death over that, and that's what I was laughing to Trish about. What, you want me to walk outside and be killed in the middle of the night? Because that's some serious business you're talking about, putting the Shasta County Courthouse in Anderson. Most people, what's the difference? But I'm telling you, there are people in Reading, they're hurting right now, and that would be a major blow to somebody's ego somewhere. Where are they going to build it? Does somebody have the property? Can I go buy some property and then have them build it there?
It's kind of like Walt Disney bought a bunch of property in Anaheim, and all the orange groves around are worth a lot of money now. So obviously, on speculation, there's a lot of interest in property right around the site that's being submitted.
Could you put it by the Green Motel down there?
It's right next to that, yes.
Yeah. I'm thinking there's a way I could work something out.
It's got the Green Motel on one side, the I-5 on the other, and the Sacramento River on the other side. So it's pretty well located. It would be great for security for the courts. Easy access for all those poor people having to come from Reading. And it's always interesting because it seems that it's 5 miles from Anderson to Reading, and it's 50 miles from Reading to Anderson. I've never figured out how that is.
I don't know. I've got a softball game. I'll be down there tomorrow. I don't even think about it. I learned a long time ago. My first partner, George Newcomb, told me something. We both left from here. I went the freeway to Anderson. He went up to Airport Road. Now, I still don't understand this, but Airport Road, you can get into Anderson faster than on a freeway. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell any outsiders, you know.
Well, that's the way I go.
Someday, Anderson Redding.
We've got I-5 and Airport Road, North Street, and then 273 is a pretty good.
Doesn't it shoot them up in there from the back end?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're well situated, and whether the rest of the county likes it or not, the growth is going in the South County, and we in the South County are enjoying that, aren't we?
We are, and again, I think we've had a whole series of great elected officials here on the city council and great planning commissioners who've had vision for Anderson and really wanted us to be better and better and better, and we're realizing some of those fruits today, and I think the notion of reaching for the stars and trying to achieve a $200 million project is not beyond our means. We've proven with the 200,000-square-foot shopping center at the other end of town that we know how to work with big projects for years. We've worked with a big state entity. The Shasta District Fairgrounds already in town. So we know how to work well with people that are developing big projects and operating them, and I think Anderson would be a great site for the courthouse.
You're
Thanks
right.
for calling in, Scott.
Okay.
We got to take a break.
Goodbye.
KQMS Anderson. And KNRO now, aren't we? 1670 also?
1670?
Is that a big secret? We never talk about that?
I think people are just getting used to 1670. And if you have would like to join in our conversation this morning, it's 221-1402. We have Trish Clark and Bob Meyer on the phone this morning. And we've got Tom on the phone right now. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Say, I wish the next time you get Wally Herger on there, and I voted for him in every election that he's run that I've lived in his district, ask him why should I vote to return the Congress into Republican hands when the national debt grew $4 trillion under 8 years of George Bush. What happened to the philosophy of small government and cut back spending under the Bush watch?
Because they never got in there for so long, and when they did, they screwed it up and embarrassed us all, and nobody's gonna argue with you.
Adult life for a Republican president and Republican Congress, and look what they did with it. And of course, not to be outdone, by the Republicans, the Democrats are going to spend us in twice as big a hole.
Well, yeah.
Well, Tom, I would tell you that I've had that conversation with Wally, and you know, they had 6 years.
Yeah.
Where they could have accomplished a great deal, and they didn't do much. The last 2 years, that Bush was in office, the Democrats had control, and I would tell you, if you look at it, that's when everything went to heck and we went into the recession and the whole thing. But I will tell you, Tom, that you're absolutely right that they blew 6 years. They didn't stand by conservative Republican principles. That's why McCain didn't have a chance, because he didn't support conservative Republican positions. And I don't think the Republicans are going to get anybody elected to the White House who does not go back to those conservative Republican positions.
We should have had Reagan with a complete Republican Congress. We might have, pared back government. But even under him, government got bigger. You know what it's boiled down to is
unless
not
you were an air traffic make controller.
Government smaller, but I can run it more efficiently. So the Republicans. So what's happened is rather than you got two parties competing over just different sets of priorities, and they're both spending money like drunken sailors, and pardon drunken sailors, maybe I should do that, make them look bad.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tom, and you're absolutely right, and I have a degree in political science. That doesn't mean I know anything about it, but there's a good reason for that. The Republicans were the minority party. They were usually wealthier from business, and their job was to pretty much see what kind of a deal they could cut with the Democrats. Hey, if you send me some pork, I'll help you out with whatever, and it was more congenial. And Republicans, being in the minority, that was a position they took. That's a political position, and you have to play it well. And they did. They were the minority, and they played the minority card every once in a while, and everybody was happy. Then they got the majority. And truthfully, they did not know how to handle it. They made the Democrats look like pikers when they got in there because, you know, they had never done that before.
Been a long time.
Well, they've done the social conservatism is fine, but the fiscal conservatism, they had never experienced being in control.
Let's take a quick call before we have to take another break. We're going to go to Gene on line three. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
Hi.
First of all, just to add to what you're talking about all of this spending, but nobody talks about the money that we've spent in Iraq to make our country safer, and Hurricane Katrina. I mean, we were hit with some really horrendous, horrendous things,
mm-hmm.
and extremely costly.
Mm-hmm.
And so before you start ripping the Republicans to pieces, you know, nothing like that ever happened under Clinton. And so let's give the Republicans some credit.
Good point. There was a massive amount. He was faced with an awful lot after 9/11 and Katrina.
Oh, yeah.
And no question there was a lot of money spent there.
But my reason for calling was talking about courthouses, police stations.
Yeah.
I see that Godshocks is going out of business. There is a 75,000 square foot building, I think the paper said. We've got parking lots. Why don't we go ahead and utilize something like that's a great location, and if you've already got parking in, you know, maybe we could use that for something.
You know,
and
Gene,
buy the building instead of renting it for Godshock.
Well,
you have
and
to pay $53,000 a month. I about dropped my teeth.
You know, Gene, I don't disagree with you, but I will tell you that whether we like it or not, that the two facilities we're talking about, the police station and the courthouse. Our security issues and whether we like the laws that have been passed and the rules that we live by, there are so many requirements that have to be built into those two facilities that retrofitting existing buildings is going to cost you more money than building new ones. And that's just the reality of it. We can change the laws, but we can't change those realities.
You know, as you know, I'm a washed-up has-been who lives in the past. But let me ask you this. Why in the hell didn't they build the police station first with the money they built City Hall with or at City Hall or whatever? Because those guys needed a police station. Oh, I know how bad City Hall was. Bob Christopher, I walked through there and tripped over cardboard boxes in the halls of the little portable. I know we needed a new courthouse. A new city council building. Is that what you would call it, I guess? The administration.
The city administration building.
The city administration building. And all that room there. Why didn't they build a police station there, too, at the same time?
Well, I think that was their intention at one time. I know the plans originally called for that. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back to Charles on the phone.
You talk about Bernie Madoff and a Ponzi scheme? What the hell? I mean, the American economy, the government, the everything collapsing, banks going on. You talk about Ponzi schemes. The U.S. has turned into a pyramid.
This is KQMS Radio. This is Trish Clark and Bob Meyer
a
this morning.
Scheme.
If you didn't know where you were with that little onslaught, and we're going to go directly to the phones. And thanks for your patience, Charles, and you're on the line.
That last 10 seconds of discussion there kind of brings to mind the state of Russia before and after the dissolution of the Soviet Union and how that whole society just went completely belly up.
Follow the Roman Empire.
No, Russia.
Well, same thing.
Economically, just like
yeah,
in the
Russia,
book.
This yeah, this happened just back in 1991.
Yeah.
Right.
You're absolutely right, Charles.
They were able to pull it off for a long time because economically, communism has to collapse, and so does pure capitalism, which we're seeing it right now. You know, pure capitalism people don't realize just, you know, how bad that would be. I mean, I'm a capitalist. I'm an American, right? I believe in this. But pure capitalism means, you know, I get the money even if you die, fool, right? I mean, pure capitalism has no morals, and that's basically, I guess, where we're coming to now.
Well, we need to go back to the government that our founding fathers put before us, and that is that we're a republic. And we can't survive as a total democracy. We can't go back to the socialist theories that I think are being put out there now. And we need to remember we're a republic and kind of concentrate on that. Charles, you called about the courthouse.
Right. First of all,
And we are.
I know
short
we're
of time,
in the last so, minute of the yeah. show, so we have to be quick.
Right.
And first of all, when the whole reentry facility controversy was happening last year and during the preceding fall, I'd been following the new jail issue myself, and nowhere nowhere did I find that they were going to put a new jail on Breslauer or in Clear Creek or any of those other.
I don't know. Those were certainly locations that were looked at ever since we've been talking about a new jail. What came out in that latest thing with the detention, I didn't pay that close of attention, but I know those are sites that have been looked at in the past.
My idea is put me in the jail and lock me in there and keep all the criminals outside away from me and bring me something to eat, too.
Well, listen, we've had a great time the last two mornings chatting with you about things. This is Trish Clark and Bob Meyer. Carl and Linda will be back tomorrow with their regular show. We've had a good time just kind of sharing. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Bob,
yeah,
final words?
Hey, see you in 11 years, folks. That's how long it's been.
That's how long it's been. Thanks for joining us.
Have a good day.